Mem Zayin. The Rebbe says, and the emphasis I mentioned already at least twice, I think, in the shiur that I've given you, that when we speak about the sugya of Yesh Ayinayin Yesh, and we say that in order to go from Yesh Amidi to Yesh Anivri, you have to have two ayins in between. And the difference between the two ayins, please, Pesach, I can't eat. Get rid of the cookie. The difference between the two ions, the difference between the two ions is, at the first type of ion, is that it's nothing like Gabi Atmos. The higher, I mean, what? Since the Eivishin is the truth, like Gabi Eivishin, everything is nothing. And the second type of ion is that it's a marker for him. It's a thing. It's a finished, created thing. Not Vajadan. And it's the source for elements. Now with them, Lagabi, Elamas, and Bechinas, Ayin. Ayin never touched two ways. Bilti Musig, we don't understand what it is. And it's Lay Dover. It's a non-thing. It's a Bilti Mitzias, right? Well, it's Lagabi, the Nevraim of Yah, it's a Bilti Mitzias. But that the second Ayin is actually, in truth, Faket, it's much more of a thing than the first Ayin. So as I explained to you a number of times, that the Sugya of Yesh Ayinayin Yesh, which is also the sugya of Das Tach and Das Elyon, Kildei Sabaye, classically, normally, what it'll do is it'll go through a bunch of levels. It'll start off that Yesh Ayinayin is Biyah, and Ayin of Yesh Ayinayin is Malchus of Atzilus. And then Atzilus itself, or Chochma, would be the Ayin of the Yesh Amiti. And higher than Atzilus would be Yesh Amiti. And then he'll slowly but surely push up the envelope. He'll go higher and higher and higher. He'll say that Atzilus is Ayin of the Yesh Ayinayin. Or whatever it is, Atilus is the Yesha Nivra, and Kesed is the Ayin of the Yesha Nivra, and Ati could be the Ayin of the Yesha Amiti, and so on. He'll continuously push the envelope. And he'll go higher and higher till Lifnei Atzimtzum. Like I told you, there's two Hemsheichim to talk about from the Rebbe Rashab. There's the Samach Tes, and there's the Ayin Vav, which is the Chedim Ayin Beis. Then on the Feridika of Maimorim, you have the Tzalik Dalit that talks about it. And the Rebbe Rashab, they spoke about Tashim Tes Vav and Tashim Tes Ayin in Maimorim, Pesadik in Maimorim, Yutif Kisadik in Maimorim, in Tashim Tes Vav and Tashim Tes Ayin, maybe Tashim Tes two or three Maimarim, where he speaks the sugi of Yesh Ayin Ayin Yesh. Our Maimah, however, doesn't go into so many details. And there's a good reason why. Because the only reason we're bringing in Yesh Ayin Ayin Yesh is because we're not interested in the sugi of Yesh Ayin Ayin Yesh per se. We're bringing in the sugi of Yesh Ayin Ayin Yesh as it serves our purpose to the sugi of Kaved Malchus Chayimei Neguras Chayid Abed. As it serves the purpose of the sugya of Kved Malchus Chayimei Gros Chayid Avedu, which means that even though Bepashtus Kved Malchus Chayimei Gros, where does Tzimtzum begin? Tzimtzum begins with Malchus of Atzilus. Still, Gros Chayid Avedu, the emissary is that there's many Tzimtzum that start much before Malchus of Atzilus that are the precursors, that are the stage setters for Malchus of Atzilus. In other words, in order to have Malchus of Atzilus, there's many Tzimtzum before. Where does it begin? Gros Chayid Avedu begins with Tzimtzum edition. So the whole purpose for the Rebbe bringing the sugya of Yesh Ayin Ayin Yesh is to accommodate this end. Therefore, he only talks about Yesh Ayin Ayin Yesh in as much as it's concerned. So he gives you two efanim in the sugya of Yesh Ayin Ayin Yesh. Efan number one, that Briya is Yesh, Malchus Atzilus is the Ayin of the Yesh Anivra, Chachma is the Ayin of the Yesh Amiti, and Kesed is the Yesh Anivra. That's one efan. The second efan is that Yesh Anivra is everything after the Tzimtzum. What's the Ayin of Yesh HaNivra? Kav. The Kav is the Ayin of Yesh HaNivra. Ayin of Yesh HaMiti. The Yesh HaMiti is the Ein Sof Shel Lifnei Atzimtzum. That's all. He doesn't go into any more particulars. Why not? It's not important.
Also
the first Oifen, that Briya is Yesh HaNivra, Malchus of Atzilus is the Ayin of Yesh HaNivra. And I guess either Atzilus or specifically Chochma of Atzilus would be the Ayin of Yesh HaMiti. And Yesh HaMiti is higher than Atzilus. In the second Oifen, the whole Briya, beginning with Ak, the first world of Yesh HaNivra, Kav is the Ayin of the Yesh HaNivra, and Lifnei Atzimtzum, you have the Yesh HaMiti and the Ayin of the Yesh HaMiti. Okay.
The first way, just the Gabi Yasser.
What?
The first way, only the Gabi Yasser, it's not the correct
way. Well, they're all true. No, it's not right and wrong. I think I explained it to you the previous Shiur, that when you learn Hasidus, you have two categories of terminologies. You have Madregis and Musagim. Levels and concepts. The difference in a level and a concept is obvious. A level has a specific place on the map. You can't move it around. A concept is an idea. The idea exists in many places. I mean, just to give you a Basi Lagani example, yeah? What's the charge of the word? Iker Shechina. Or Shechina, yeah? If Shechina was a level... Right. If Shechina is a level, you put it on the calendar, on the map, and that's where it belongs. But as a Musag, as a Munach, as a concept, you can move it from place to place. It doesn't make the previous definitions wrong. It makes the previous definitions true within a certain framework. When you broaden the framework, it's no longer true, so you add a deeper framework. Now, before I get to Kav, and we're going to talk about Kav today, I just want to mention to you a little bit about the Eden Sosh Lifnei HaTzimtzum, because on the bottom of page Mem Zayin, he mentions it. And Grada, I did give you that shiur last week, where I spoke to you about the idea that the way the Eid is called in the morning, the way the sun's light is called in the sun, there's two madregas. On the higher madrega, the sun is light, the sun is not light at all. Lav in the Eid. Then there's a screen, the first nartik. The first nartik makes it the light should be begili, it should shine. But even after the light shines, it's still color in the moir. Then you have a second nartik, a second screen that makes the light less strong, so the light can come out of the source. So I explained to you last week that the moir itself, the source itself is hidden. The light that comes from the moir is also hidden. The first screen, which apparently is one of those tzimtzumim, which is Kodim Tzimtzum Rishon, the first original Tzimtzum, makes it to be Eir HaMeir or Metzius Eir, a revealed light or an existence called light, which are terms you have a lot in this Pedic, in this Maim, especially on page Nun. He used the term Metzius Eir, the form of light, the existence of light. That's after the first Nartek, after the first Shield. But the light is still included in the source, but now it's revealed and it's very, very strong. Then there's a second Nartek, a second Shield that makes the light come out of the source. This is what makes the light less. One more time? That would be Tzimtzum Edition.
Why is it called that?
It's a Kav. It's not only Gili and Eir HaMeir, it's Eir HaMeir of the Chutz L'Moir. It's shining outside of the Moir. The first one is a Gili, but the way it's still included in the Moir. And the second one is a Gili as it's coming out of the Moir and it's made less. It becomes Eir HaMeir. The Eir Ein Sof, which comes from Atzmus, is Helam, like Atzmus himself is Helam. Then there's a tzimtzum that makes the Eid Ein Sof, which was by itself Helam into Gilui Eid Ein Sof. Makes it be Gilui, but it's still called about Tzimtzum. Now, I want to tell you some levels, okay? This is the kind of thing you should write down. And the truth of the matter is, I should write it and you should type it up. If I think, maybe I'll do it later, but the divide, I write it down. You should know.
It was.
You remember the chart? You remember the discussion? So now this is a good time to write stuff down. Number one. Don't forget, when we call the Eibishter, pencil, yeah? When we call the Eibishter a Mo'ir, a source for light, we've just insulted him. The Eibishter cannot be called Mo'ir. The Rebbe has a Maimir, I told you this Maimir a number of times, Atta Nitzavim Tavshin Memches, where the Rebbe says, not only can't you call the Eibishter Mo'ir, you can't call the Eibishter Atzmus. Because Atzmus is a Torah, it's a description. The description is that it's a beyond the description. I explained to you many times the meaning of the word Atzmus, anything in its relationship with itself. So, according to this, what the Eibishter is, we don't know, we have no name for. Okay, we'll call him Eibishter. There's an enormous symptom to go from that to the Madreya, which is called Atzmus. Then there's going to be a second symptom, a Gavaldika symptom, to go from the Inyan of Atzmus to the Inyan that's called Moir. And by the way, if you want to read about it, I'll tell you where you can read about it. In Melukat Chelik Beis, Sifma Melukat Chelik Beis, there's a Maimir, a Beis Nissen Maimir. I think it's HaChodesh, Toshim Mvav, if I'm not mistaken. It's a Mugadik Maimir. Not the Maimir itself, but the footnotes, where it ever talks about this whole idea of Atmos being one thing and Moir being something else. But he says that Atmos and Moir are two things that are one. So I mean, sort of Hezbollah. But there's a Tzimtzum to create Atmos, there's another Tzimtzum to create Moir. And of course, the higher you are, the bigger the Tzimtzum. There's a Ribui Tzimtzum. There's many Tzimtzum. Who's learning Memhei? Who's learning Basel Agadim Memhei? Who's learning Memhei? Is he familiar with these ideas? There's Gevaldike Tzimtzum to create Atzmus, and there's Gevaldike Tzimtzum to create Moir. And then there's more Tzimtzum to create what's called Yecholus. Yecholus is a Madrega in Eir Ein Sof officially. That's not Eir at all. It's not Eir. In Samach Vav, it's called Kadmen Kekadmusein. The Madrega of Ein Sof, which is Yechayelus, is called Kadmik HaGad Musay. Kadmik HaGad Musay means, just like the Eibishter always was, this Madrega of Eir always was. This Madrega of Eir is called, Hu Ushmei Echad. The word Hu, Hei Vav Aleph, is Rosh Hatev, is Hu Ushmei Echad. Shtei De Lashnech Sidis, Hu Ushmei, Ushmei Hu. This Madrega of Yechayelus, it always was. It's Kadmik HaGad Musay, it always was like the Eibishter himself always was. And who Shmai Shmai Hu? He is his name. His name is him. What do we know about the Madrega of Yechelus? This Madrega of Yechelus is not light at all. It's nothing. It's the potential within Ma'ir for Eid. The possibility for Ma'ir to produce Eid is called Yechelus. So the Rebbe says there's an enormous simsum, just like there's an enormous simsum between pre-Atmos, whatever that is, and Atmos. And there's an enormous simsum between Atmos and Ma'ir. There's an enormous simsum between Ma'ir and the union of Yecholtei Lahayir in Ma'ir. How this works, I don't know. But as they state in the Maimarim of the Rebbe, in Menhei, forget, the higher you go, the bigger the simsum. But yes, the higher you go, even though for us it's all, we're talking about built-in Matthias. Okay, so we have like this. There's an enormous simsum to create Atmos. There's an enormous simsum to create Ma'ir, and there's no mitzvah to create Yechelus. And all these three, for all intents and purposes, are not Eid at all. They're Eibishter. Even Yecholtei Lahayir, Yecholtei Shalei Lahayir, it's called Kadmik HaGad Musay. Then you have the first Madrega of Eid. The first Madrega of Eid is called Etzem Eid Insof.
You say something there.
You knew that I should pick up both feet and ask you to take them off. No?
When you say it's from the beginning, it was always like that. How's it possible?
You're saying
different levels.
Listen to me. I'm telling you the facts as we know them. Has been these Yonim waiting for Mashiach. There's doubts for Mashiach. These are Oishis Arabs, the Rebbe says. This is in Memhei, when I'm saying it's from Memches. The Rebbe spoke these Yonim with kids in Yimnitz, like Rebbe Luska told me last night. The Rebbe took it off the agenda after a certain point. The place was going nuts, people couldn't deal with it. There's no hezbein of any of this. These are facts. Don't even state. Hezbein basic.
Where is it?
Ata mitzavim tafshin memches. Ata mitzavim tafshin memches. Is some of the first stuff I told you. And then in Beis Nissan tafshin memches. Amugadik imaymeh. Which is hachoydish tafshin memvav. It's mugad. Mugad chalik beis. In the ha'oris. He speaks the rest of the Yonim. If you'll bring me the sefer, I'll show you exactly. Okay? And also in Basi Lagani memhei. Basi Lagani memhei that he's learning. Vem Sheikhov, Rebbe spoke also the same in Yonim, Tzimtzumim, Kaidim Tzimtzum Edition, that there's many Tzimtzumim before the first Tzimtzum. Now, this Madrega of Etzem Eid Insof, right, so what do we have? What are the terms we have? We have pre-Atmos, which has no name, Atmos, Ma'ar, Yecholus, three levels. The fourth is called Etzem Eid Insof. Etzem Eid Insof is the level of Eid Insof that I told you before, that exists in the Ma'ar and it doesn't shine. It's Behalo. The Madrega of Etzem Eid Insof is explained in certain places in Chassidus as being Hamshacha V'Lo Yigilui. It comes out of the source, but it's not revealed. It's Helam, like the source is Behelam. Etzem Eid Insof is also Behelam. Okay? It's called, it's Me'in Amar. It's a revelation of the source. To nobody. It's a revelation of the source. I guess, to the source itself. Now, after Etzem Eid Insof, that's where you have this first Natik. I told you what to do. This is where you have the first natik. This is where you have the first shield, the first screen. After Etzem Eid Insof, there's a screen that makes Eid Insof should be begilui. The difference between Etzem Eid Insof and the gilui of Eid Insof is whether you have oisius in the Eid Insof. In the Etzem of Eid Insof, since the Eid is behalim, there's no oisius. In other words, the keiach hakvul is not the metzias bifnei atzmi. In the gilui of Eid Insof, after the first natik, since the light is shining, it's revealed, it has to bounce off something. So in that Madrega, you already speak about the Keiach HaGvul Shebe Ein Sof, which is later on going to become the Rishimu through Tzimtzum Rishon, as I explained it to you in the previous Shiur. Okay? But now is the first time, since the light is shining, that you can speak about the Zulas. The light is shining off something, which is in this case, the Keiach HaGvul Shebe Ein Sof, or the Oisius HaTmim, Gol of Galif, or Batili Law. There was a Hakiki and Atmos of Oisius, which is going to be in his Gala after the Tzimtzum in the Rishimu. This is called Gilui of Eid Insof. Okay, so let's go back one more time. We have like this. We have higher than Atmos, we have Atmos, we have Ma'ar, we have Yecholus, we have Etzem of Eid Insof. After Etzem of Eid Insof, you have the first Tzimtzum that I spoke to you about, the shield, which makes the light shine. So what would be the difference between Etzem Ein Sof and the Gil Ein Sof after the shield? The difference would be, the Gil Ein Sof after the shield is called a Metzius Ein. It's a thing of light. Because the Metzius of Ein is Gilu. The Ein Sof before this Nartik is not a Metzius of Ein, it's an Etzem of Ein. It's not a Metzius of Ein, it's a Mahus of Ein, not Etzem. You with me so far? You following? Okay. The Gilu. We're still looking at him. The Ein Sof of Gilu is called a Metzius. Before the tradition. It's called a Metzius of Ein. It's called Ein HaMeir because it shines. So the fact that it shines means that it has to be Oisius. It's to be something off which it is shining. Right? Right? I said one more thing. What else did I say?
I said one more.
Huh? And this is the first Nartik that I spoke to you about in the last year. In this Madreg of Gilead itself, you have two levels. Koydam Alayhi Saratzen and La'achar Alayhi Saratzen. Before the Eibishter thought about creating the world and after the Eibishter thought about creating the worlds. The Madreg that's before the Eibishter thought about creating the worlds, Koydam Alayhi Saratzen, is called, now get the quote, okay, write this down. Yeah, Koydam Alayhi Saratzen, before the Eibishter thought about creating the world.
Before and after.
It's not in Zman, it's in Madreg. Koydam Alayhi Saratzen, we say, here's the quote. Kimoi Kodmai Ahedr. Kimoi, as though Kodmai Ahedr, it once didn't exist. Now, but that Akhwal, most people know that there's two types of things. Either things that always existed, or things that once did not exist. Now we have a middle Madreg. Things that always existed, huh? Kodmai always existed, and Mechudashim are new. Here we've got, or Kodmai Ahedr is new. Here we have a concept which is as if it once wasn't. What does that mean, as if it once wasn't? Kamai called me ahead, as if it once wasn't. No. I don't, you confuse me. Christ, this is too much. It's as if it once wasn't means two things. Well, number one, it always was. But number two, it didn't have to always be. Kamai called me ahead means it always was, but didn't always have to be. Why? Because it's explained in Chassidus that the Gilui of Ein Sof is Gilui Ritzenus. Hashem is not a person, Hashem is not forced to shine light. He chooses to shine light. So since he chooses to shine light, he's always been shining light. So the light has always existed, but it didn't always have to exist. So we say it's Kamai Kavam Ahedim. It's as if it once didn't exist. Which makes you scratch your head and say, oh, wait a minute. Let's go over the list one more time. We have pre-Atmos, we have Atmos, we have Mar, we have Yecheles, we have Etzem Ein Sof. All those levels must exist. All those levels must exist. You know what I'm saying? If we say that the Gilui of Ein Sof always existed. But it could once have not existed. So we called Kmai Kadma Mahedin as if it once didn't exist. So are you saying that the level before they have to? So I'll tell you the facts as they're written in Samach Vav, you'll chew it up another time. The level of Yecheles, it's called Kadmei Kekadmusei. Kadmei Kekadmusei means it always had to exist. The Pashtus. The level of Kadmei Kekadmusei, yes, we do mean Pashtus, I think. The level of Kadmei Kekadmusei always had to exist. It's called, it always, Kadmei Kekadmusei means it always was. The level of Ein Sof, which is after the Tzimtzum, the Gilui Ein Sof, it's Kmei Kadmei Hadim. Etzem Ein Sof, question mark. I never saw him say this. I honestly didn't see, and you learn Ayin Aleph. You learn one day Ayin Aleph with the tight. You learn everything. You'll see over there. So I'm going to review the chart quickly. I hope you guys are writing. There's pre-Atmos, there's Atmos, there's Ma'ir, and there's Yechayles. Yechayles is Kadmi Kakad Musa. Yechayles has to always exist. Atzel of Ein Sof, question mark. Gilui of Ein Sof, which is after the first Nartik. That this Gilui of Ein Sof is called Metzius of Ein, called Eramein, and was still before the Tzimtzum, also always was. But it didn't always have to be. It's Kimei Kadma Mehed. Then there's the Ratzin. Alayis HaRatzin. I'll give you the list again, okay? There's Pre-Atmos, there's Atmos, there's Ma'ir, there's Yecheles, which is Kadmik HaKadmusei. Then there's Etzem Ein Sof, and now, right, it's Madrega of Oir. And whether this is Kadmei Kekadmusei or Kmei Kadmei Mehedr, I don't know. It's a question mark. The Madrega of Ein Sof, which is after the first Nartik, which is called Eir HaMeir, the Eir HaMeir, we say that it's K'may kava mehezer. It always existed. Didn't always have to exist. Then comes the ratzon for elemus. The ratzon for elemus is where Esses Sfeidah start. Because, let me give you some more confusion. The madrega in itself, which is... The madrega in itself, which is K'may kava mehezer, is Sfeidah saying yes. There's an infinite number of Sfeidahs. Okay, the madrega in itself, which is the ratzon for elemus, this is the first place where we speak about Esses Sfeidah. And this is already a mechudish. This is very new. Nice. Like I explained to you last year about Eichas and the Shurim, I gave you Mem Gimel. It once was not. So I'm going to give you the list quickly one more time. Okay? There's pre-Atzmos, there's Atzmos, there's Mar, there's Yechelos, there's Etzem in itself. Then there's the first screen, which makes it Gilev in itself. There's Eira Meir, which is Kmei Kod Memehadir. Then there's Alei Saratzim, which is a Chidish. Now comes Tzimtzum Rishon. You got seven levels before Tzimtzum Rishon. Tzimtzum Rishon, just one second, is the second screen that I spoke to you in the last year. What Tzimtzum Rishon accomplishes, is that not only the Ur should be Aramea, the Ur should be less. It should be able to be Nimshach Acharat Tzimtzum. In the form of Kav, which is what our Shir is supposed to be about. Excuse me? In the Ur, there's two levels. Kedem Alei Saratzen, before the Ratzen, and after the Ratzen.
Second
Natik
is
a Natik? No! The first Natik is before those two levels, and the second Natik is after both of those levels. The second Natik, this is Tzimtzum
Rishon. And this makes it Megillah.
That makes it less. Megillah is right from the first Natik. Tzimtzum Rishon makes it less. Right, so that should be able to be Nimshach
HaNeilus. After Alei Saratzen, there's
already the concept of the Pasasim? Yes. Kedem Alei Saratzen is a concept called Sfiras Ein Ketz. You may have come across the term of shame and shamus. Some of you guys learning Basi Lagani, you see a lot of exotic atheists. Shamus, Kedem Alei Saratzen, Sfiras Ein Ketz. Shamus is Esses Sfiras. And then comes Tzimtzum Rishon. After Tzimtzum Rishon, by the way, you know the chart, that big chart that I gave you in Mem Gimel, that fancy chart with all the lines? All this is written on that chart.
Is this all the way up
the
right?
Huh?
Is it all the way up
the
right?
Oh, I'm not sure yet. Wait. Now.
Why
is it called Tzimtzum Rishon? Because it's the first symptom that the Arizal spoke about. It's the first symptom in Kabbalah. Everything I just told you is not in Kabbalah at all. It's only Chassidus. The Tzimtzum Rishon is the first symptom of a Jewish that Arizal wrote about. And he says, we're not allowed to talk about it, we can't understand it, and so on. Chassidus goes, hecher or noch hecher, you know what I'm trying to say? That Atmos is a madrege, it doesn't say in Eitz Chaim. Eitz Chaim doesn't talk about such things as... No, he doesn't speak so high. The later Mukavam got hecha for the Friedrich. It's just the Metzias. Now, how does so tie into the Maimon? In this Maimon, on the bottom of page Mem Zayin, the Rebbe speaks about the terminologies Ayin and Ephes. Okay? What's the difference between Ayin and Ephes? Ayin means the light is very strong. Very strong, except that it's included in the source. Ephes means that the light is not light. Okay? So now you tell me which madrega is Ephes and which madrega is Ayin, based on the information that I gave you. Chaimaka, you writing what I'm saying?
Right.
So which madrega is Ayin and which madrega is Ephes?
It's not light. The second Arctic is Ayin. What was Ephes?
Again. Ayin means the light is very strong, it's included in the source. Ephes means the light is not shining at all. Which is Ayin and which is Ephes? Ephes, Lady Yitzchak, is before the first Natik. Ayin is the two levels between the two Natiks. Because after the second Natik, it's already outside of the Mar. Does it make sense? No, Etzem. Yichelos is not Eir.
I think it's
already
outside
of the first. Etzem it is. Ephes is before the first Natik. Etzem it is. Ayin would be between the two Natiks, because now we're saying the light is shining. It's faket, it's stronger than it's going to be when it goes out of the source. But it's bottle guts in the source. One more time? No, it's included in the Moed. And that means to say it's bottled in the Moed, but inside the Moed it's very strong. Right. So it's a different type of bittle. The Atmos, the capital of Eir, makes it, In Chassidus there's two types of bittel. There's a bittel called Layada, and there's a bittel called Ukum, which is also the bittel of Afes and the bittel of Ayin. The difference between these two bittels is the first bittel destroys you completely. You don't exist. Second bittel, you still exist, you lose your expression. Yeah, it's manifesting. So the Efes is not Metzius. Ayin, that is a Metzius, but because it's included in the Mayad, it doesn't have its beat to its expression. But in other words, if you would take away the Mayad, it would become a Gilui. Mashiach and Eretz, you take Etzem and Eretz, you take away the Mayad, it's going to remain Etzem and Eretz. Now, let me thicken the plot. Let me offer you some more juice on this whole thing. And I'll say this to you. Okay? Everybody knows the reason for Tzimtzum Rishon. Why did that result in this Tzimtzum Rishon? Why? Because like I am not coming to this element, that the world would be here, it would burn up the worlds, right? You also know that two things. Number one, we believe that Tzimtzum is a negative shift. Hashem never really moved the light; he just looks like he moved the light, right? But we know something else. The Alter Rebbe in Teira is machadish a chiddush. It doesn't say any place before. The chiddush of the Alter Rebbe is Adar Rebbe Hamoyru beizbalos. Not only we say that Tzimtzum is not kipshutei, but that Hashem Himself, not only is He here, He's revealed. Hamoyed who is lost. The Eibush himself is here. Why? Because the Eibush himself is not interference. The light of the Eibush, if the light of the Eibush would shine here, it would burn us up. The Eibush himself is so hidden, he could be here, he could be revealed, and he doesn't burn us up. You with me? What's included in Moed? Sai Moed, Sai Yecheles, and Sai Etzemet himself are here, Begilui. This is what's called in Chassidus Leinago Behema Tzimtzum Cloud. The Tzimtzum, in other words, the Madrega that we called Efes before. It not only is it here, it's revealed that no Tzimtzum affected it. It's here right now. We're swimming in a sea of Atmos and Moed and Yecheles and Etzmav and stuff. There's no Shini whatsoever that got all these Madrega. The only Madrega we had a Tzimtzum was in the 18th Tzav after the first Navtik. Because the 18th Tzav after the first Navtik, that's Gilui. And Gilui is a problem. Gilui would create interference with us. It would burn us up. So Eibush has to remove the Gilui of Ein Sof. And in this Gilui of Ein Sof, which Eibush has to remove, so we shouldn't burn up, this two Madregas itself. Save of Kalam, we say, Nogo Behemat Tzimtzum. Hashem didn't change it. He just made it hidden. Mamala Kalam, we say Tzimtzum. Mamacham, Eibush changed completely. I believe that I'm going to write this all up on a chart. I tell you again, the chart that I gave you, my old Mem Gimel chart, has all this information. I've never spoken it out so much, but I'll see if I can dig it up. See, we'll do it. Whatever the case is, if someone is typing it, I'll write it. You heard the last thing I said? Huh? That the Eibishter himself, his Begilui, Leinago Be'atzim Tzum Klal, but not only the Eibishter, Moir and Yecheles and Etzim Avedim Tzav, Pshita, is here Be'ez Galus. How come the world exists? It's so hidden it doesn't create any interference. The Madrega we say that the Tzimtzum has to remove the light so the world can't exist. This is only in the Ein Sof after the first Natik, the Gilui of Ein Sof. And in this itself, there's Nogo Behemat Tzimtzum, Say of Kalaman is only made hidden by the Tzimtzum. And Mamala Kalaman is Taka Tzimtzum, the Tzimtzum changes it. It's Bekeach Heshecha Tzimtzum. Okay, anyway, that was what, I don't know what you call it, a filibuster, blew you away. There's a tape of it, you want to listen to it again.
What's the difference of Sayyid Kalam and what you said before, that it was Kalam
and everybody else? Sayyid Kalam is Eir HaMeir. It's a light that's meant to be shining and Eivishtah hides it.
You said there was no Halakam.
It's a Begila, yeah. It's Atzim himself is Begila, yeah.
What's the difference of Sayyid Kalam and
that? Because the Inyan of Sayyid Kalam is the Begila. And the Atzim himself is not Inyan of Begila. That now the Etzim Klamen was made with Tzimtzum, and Etzim Ben Tzav was not made with Tzimtzum. Lo Yinaga by Tzimtzum Klamen. Sure, but the Tzimtzum was only Naga by Tzimtzum. The Tzimtzum didn't change it, he made it Behelim.
It only made it Behelim.
Okay, now that I just filibustered, okay, I explained to you basically the terminologies I am the Eves, the Father of the Page, Mem Zayin. That when he says, that with what we're explaining it is that there's two tzimtzimum in effect in tzimtzum addition. The first is that the light should shine, metzias of it, and then the light should be made less. So before the light is made to shine, it's called who? Right? What's the lashon pasuk? What's the lashon pasuk? Everybody knows it. What's the lashon in the pasuk? You. Ata hu havayin. Ata is atmos. Who is atzma vein tov? And havayin is gilui vein tov. So who equals efes? And havayin equals ayin. Okay. Now, let's get the kav.
Why is havayin?
Because havayin means gilui. Havayin means gilui. Yud tzimtzum hey am shachar vav hey is pashtus vav am shachar hey is pashtus. That's gilui. Havayah as a rule means gilui. So beklalus havayah begins after the first natik. Now this, of course, higher madrigas of havayah, but we're not going to go into that. Now, and what I should really do, if I want to do this right, is I shouldn't just write a chart. I should write multiple kedus for all this stuff. Okay.
Then
another
one understand.
Well, I'll make numbers and put them on the bottom of the page. Okay. Now. It's not a ha'ana, but I didn't say one original idea. This is all it says. I see this.
That's a compilation.
Okay, make a chart. You know the chart in the back of the siddur about brachas? You know who made that chart?
Yisrael.
Everybody takes credit for it.
And they mess it up, I showed them.
The chart in the back of the siddur about answering Kiddush and Baruch. It's a very, very good chart. I remember seeing the chart at the Bachar and marveling how accurate it was. I was wondering who made the chart. Yisrael said he made it himself. Everybody takes credit for it. What looks to? Okay.
You know, I didn't.
Now, Rabbi say, Sam Sapozhnik, this is my Sam Sapozhnik, they've told him if I bring him, there used to be pogroms. And after the pogroms, he needs to go back to the goyim and buy back their things from them. So a guy comes into the goyim, the guy has tefillin hanging. So he wants to buy the tefillin back. He's charging him a lot of money. So he says, Fedeinet, they belong to me. You're supposed to give it to me. I'm giving you money. Why are you charging me a lot of money? He said, now the guy doesn't know what's inside tefillin. He just knows that tefillin are made of leather. The guy was a shoemaker. He says, Sam Sapozhnik, I myself am a shoemaker. I made it myself. Sam Sapozhnik. Okay, anyways. Now, let's get the Kav. The Rebbe says about Kav, that Kav is Ayin of the Yesh Hanivra. And when you guys learned this, if you were honest with yourself, you were wondering, come on, what's the difference between Kav and the worlds? I mean, Kav is after the Tzimtzum. Ak is also up there. Ak is a high Olam. Ak is also on the higher Madrigas. What exactly is the difference between Kav and the worlds? Well, you call Kav Ayin of the Yesh HaNivra, and the worlds you're calling Yesh HaNivra. Where does this discussion begin? Ba'anam of Memzai. He calls the Kav the Ayin of the Yesh HaNetzal, the Yesh HaNivra, and the Nivraim are Yesh HaNivra. And he uses very interesting ideas. For example, one of the things he mentions is, like a ruler. A ruler measures everything. But the ruler itself is not measured. What does that mean? You have a ruler, yeah? You can measure an 8-foot table, you can measure a 6-foot table, a 4-foot table. The ruler is not measured. What do you mean the ruler is measured? The ruler is 12 inches. But the union of the ruler is not those 12 inches. The union of those rulers that it can measure anything. Since the union of the ruler is that it can measure everything, the idea of measurement in the ruler is a theoretical concept. Now, if you talk about a Gashmizdika ruler, and a Gashmizdika ruler is limited. But that's the union of the Kav. The Kav is energy. The Kav is not just a ruler. You know, the Kav doesn't just measure, it actually delivers. The Kav pumps the Chayas also. When the Kav decides to give Ak so much Ein Sof, it doesn't just measure it, it provides it. So the Kav has a ruler to provide Ein Sof in measured ways to the various different rulers. Says the Rebbe, listen, the ruler itself is unruled. The Kav itself, the ruler itself, because it's the hiyuli, it's the potentia, it's the basis for all measurement, it itself has a shaykhus to measurement, yes, 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 but it's not yet measured. This is, so to speak, the diplomatic solution that the Rebbe draws. It's a concept that was fanandiklai, you have to have a goyin in it, you have to understand it, because by itself, it's hard to understand. What does it mean? The Kav measures, but it's not measured. And you have taken in Samach Vav, Ergiret, there, Klor, you know, over there he brings the sugya of Sefer, and Sipur. Also, he brings the three ideas. There's the Medida, and there's the Moided, and there's the Nimdad. The thing that has been measured, those are the worlds. There's the Moided, the one who measures, this is the Eibishter. And then there's the Medida, the measurement itself. The Eibishter is the Ma'ilim of Medida. The Eibishter, the one who measures, can change the measurement to Ma'ilim. The worlds that are Nimdad are limited. The Kav is the Medida, it's the Indian of measurement. If you could measure 1,000 different things, then you have to accommodate 1,000 different measurements. So So the Kav itself is never measured. It's the possibility for all measurements. That's how we're understanding the Kav. Yitzchak. Yitzchak. Okay. Okay, now. Rabbi Isai. I want to offer you a Higoy Bashtikl Hezbeh and what it means that the Kav measures and is not measured. The Kav is the basis for all limitation, but the Kav itself is not yet fully developed limit, and that's why you could call the Kav Ayin and everything else Yash. And I push it to want to establish a simple Nisad. And I have this shiur that I gave last year on the topic. I want to offer you a very simple Nisad, and that is the first of everything is never fully developed until the second or until the third. Interesting analogy. The first of everything is never fully developed. Okay, and I can give you a couple of dugmos. Number one, the Sikha from the Rebbe from Simchas Torah, Leil Simchas Torah Shemem Zayin. It's printed. Where the Rebbe makes an observation that every Gili of Torah happened through two principles. Every revelation of Torah requires two people, Moshe and Yeshua, the Arizal and the Chaim Vital, the Baal Shem Tov and the Magid. Why? The answer is because the first one in each of those three sets, Meisha, Radizal, and the Baal Shem Tov, they were Pashat in Himmel. They were in heaven. And they're revealing Torah. What is the definition of Torah? Does anybody know what's the definition of Torah? I mean, I'm sure you can give me 1,001 definitions. But one of the definitions of Torah is that Chochmah. Chochmah is that you can understand it. If you can't understand that concept in Torah, it's not Torah. It's a lakus. It's true. But it's not Torah.
It's a way of learning.
That's not called learning. It only works in Tenesh B'Ksav. It doesn't work in Tenesh B'Ksav. If you don't understand it, if you don't understand it, then you got to get a brain transplant. But if it can't be understood in it, it's not Torah. What makes it Torah is that people understand it. So Moshe brings down Torah from heaven. You know what makes it Torah? Not that Moshe brought it down. That Yeshua understood it. What makes that Arizal Teda, not that Arizal taught it, is that Chaim Vital absorbed it. What makes the Baal Shem Tov Gilui of Atmos in Teda succeeded? Teda is that the Magid understood it. And Gerada, there's a modern dika sikh of the Rebbe, which, you know, it's not in the Kuntres, in Yanagul Mashiach, the sikh of Teda Chadash Amiti Teda. The sikh of Shuas Nun Aleph. It's an unbelievable sikh, where the Rebbe talks about what it means Mashiach is going to reveal new Teda. And one of the struggles in that sikha is that it's mashma from Rambam that in order for Mashiach to reveal new Torah, he's going to have to be a Navi, prophet. The problem is, everybody knows, ain't Navi, Rashi L'chad, Jav L'mayata, Torah and Nevuah are not allowed to be together. They're mutually exclusive. You cannot have Torah and Nevuah together. So how could it be, says the Rebbe, the Mashiach is going to use Nevuah to reveal Torah? It's a long arichis, which I'm not going to go into, but the nekudah that the Rebbe says is like this. When Mashiach comes to us, and he teaches us new Torah. It's not Torah. It's not Torah. When Mashiach comes to us, he teaches us Torah. And the Zkenim understand him. Then it's Torah. What makes it Torah is not that Mashiach teaches it yet. It's the first part of the Gilad. What makes it Torah is that it was niskabel by somebody who doesn't have Nevuah. And when that person gets it, oh, now it's Torah. And there's a Maisa palette, there's a Maiden Dikka Maisa to underscore, to illustrate this point. So the tale of the Maisa. The Rebbe Rasha became a Rebbe at 21 years old. 21 years old became a Rebbe. For 10 years or 11 years, he wasn't officially the Rebbe Denasi B'Yisrael, officially, unofficially, if I state so, Zarach HaShemesh or Baal Shemesh. But for a long time, he was up, not officially a Rebbe.
So he
went to Kufa, sometimes more, sometimes less. That's why from Memhei till Tavshin Tess is one statement. It's on and off. He was also very sick a lot. Kama Pamim was mamish near death. But in any event, during that Tkufa, which some people used to call the Tkufa Sacheshech and Lubavitch, the dark time of Lubavitch, there were certain Chassidim who came to Lubavitch. Many of them left. A lot of the Lubavitch went to Kapust Yemot. The Kapust became rich. He fattened up on the Emanash Chassidim. He took a lot. But the Yvesach Sam remained in Lubavitch. Never forgot. Amongst the Chassidim in Lubavitch was the famous Chassid Chaim Ber. Rav Chaim Ber Vilensky was in the middle of Rav Sfidin from the Kremenchuk of Belach. A Gornich Chassidus, a Maskalif Niflam. He was a big expert at the middle of Rav's Drushim, the middle of Rav's Chassidus. One day, Rav Chaim Ber gets a letter from the Rebbe Rashab. Rav Chaim Ber was the middle of Rav's Achosid. The Rebbe Rashab was named after the middle of Rebbe. He was born a few years before the Semach Tzedek Sestalkos, so you can understand the disparity of age. The Rebbe Rashab was about 25, and Rav Chaim Ber was in his 80s in this town. He had a figure in his 80s, at least in his 80s. A kid said, he asked some questions in the Imre Bini, asked some questions in the middle of Rebbe's Chassidus. What do you do when you get a letter from the Rebbe asking you Pshat Namayim? What do? You don't answer. The Rebbe needs my help. Chaim Ber didn't answer. A little while after that, the Rav of Kremenchuk, whose name was Alvar of Lazarov, the Gven and Lubavitch. The Kremenchuk Rav was a big one, and he was a breite mensch. He was one of those feeble people. He spoke with like a lion. He goes into the Rebbe and then says, I don't understand. Is he healthy? Is he okay? I have to say that. I wrote him a letter, didn't answer me. Anyway, the Kremenchuk Rav comes home from Lubavitch, and you have to understand the sensitivity. These people were old enough to be the Rebbe Rashab's father. So the idea of his kashas was very sensitive. And everybody was very, very serious about not messing around with his kashas. He goes into Chaim Ber and he lets him have it. The Rebbe shikta the Rebbe, the emphasis finished. Chutzpah, the Rebbe had an answer. So Chaim Ber calms him down and says, had the Rebbe did gesagt, was er hat mir geschrieben in the brief? Maybe the Rebbe told you what he wrote in the letter also, we just told you he wrote a letter. He says, no, he didn't. He says, I'll tell you what he wrote. He wrote questions in Imre Bina. He'll manage fine without my help. He doesn't need me. So that was the end of that argument. I don't know how, but the Rebbe Rashab heard this comment. The Rebbe Rashab heard these words in Rav Chaim Ber. Someone gave over to him. And Rav Chaim Ber's response was, when he gave to the question, how can I run him back? The next year, Shavuos, Rav Chaim Ber was in Lubavitch. Rav Chaim Ber was in Oivet. Rav Chaim Ber davened the whole Shabbos. The whole Yom Tov. So after davening, the Oiv did daven in the Chabad Nitzer, in the second shul in the Chedesh Sheni. So the Rebbe Rashab, when he walked out of the Beis Medrash, instead of going home, he went into the Chabad Nitzer, and he stood and he watched Rav Chaim Ber daven. He watched him daven for like half an hour, a long time, he watched him daven. And when he walked away, this was his comment, Her Avot from that Rebbe. He says, Eros Gerecht. He's right. Ich ken sich in them alone, I can manage myself. Aber ich hab gewollt sehen, sie da mit Seichel allein kommen durch. What I wasn't sure, what I wanted to know, whether this particular concept in the Imre Bina can be understood with Seichel alone. So the Rebbe Rashab said, in effect, I stood and I watched the daven, and my conclusion is, yeah, da mit Seichel allein kommen durch. What's the pshat? I'll tell you another word as a hezbit to this. Rabbi Isaac Homler used to say, the Alter Rebbe had Ruach HaKedesh always. The Mittal Rebbe had Ruach HaKedesh whenever he wanted. The Tzemach Tzedek had Ruach HaKedesh from time to time, the Eis Menahit. And he added, Amo is best than Nishtah Ruach HaKedesh. Sometimes having Ruach HaKedesh is not good. So somebody said to Rabbi Iro, what are you saying, Mavinus and Rebbes? He says, you have a Ruach HaKedesh. He says, Ruach HaKedesh, Habach Nisht, Aber Ameven Binach. I don't have Ruach HaKedesh, but I'm a Maven. But this vort that he said, sometimes it's better not to have Ruach HaKedesh. Imagine having Ruach HaKedesh. Imagine having Ruach HaKedesh. It's a good problem to have, yeah? You know what the problem Ruach HaKedesh is? When you learn Torah, you never know if you're understanding it or you're seeing it. Is this Verstandig? Does this make sense? Is this a Svar, a Sichlis? What's Ruach HaKedesh? What's the difference? Torah is Lume. You have to understand Torah. So the Rebbe Rashab is learning Imre Bina. He knows Peshat. But he's not sure. Is it Aniyah for Seichel? Or is it Aniyah for Ruach HaKedesh? So he writes a letter to a Chassid. He knows one thing about this Chassid. Ruach HaKedesh he doesn't have. So if the Chassid can explain it to him, so he knows that this is Aniyah Sichti. If the Chassid can't explain it to him, so it becomes a question. These words in the middle of Rebbe, is it Seichel or is it Gilei Elokus? Is Ruach HaKedesh like Kapolo? So he doesn't answer him. So the Rebbe Rashab checks him out himself. He says, yeah, this guy understood. from the way he davened, hat er verstanden. What am I trying to bring out? When there's a gilui mamayla lamata, something comes from a high level to a lower level. So the definition of it being on a low level is what? That it's crystallized, that it has limitations, has borders. Its eidus bekele was limited. So when you reveal it, you revealed something, yeah? Is it limited or not? You don't know till somebody else gets it. That's what the Rebbe said. Moshe's Tate is Yeshua. The Arizal's Tate is the Chaim Vital. Vashem's Tate is the Magid. Mashiach's Tate is the Zkenim who understand Chachmasa. Why? Because the first Gilu, it's a Gilu. It's a Gilu. It's not enveloped. It's a Gilu. And because it's a Gilu, even though it's a Gilu, it's still a theoretical Gilu. It's not fully B'medid HaVagba. It's not fully measured. It only becomes measured if somebody else gets it. You should know that in Toshin Magid Zayin. It says in Sforim that the Mizritcher Magid had a Seder. Anything that came to his mind, when an idea came to his head, he said it. Even if he was alone. Why? He wanted to bring it into the world. That if his Machshav is not good, he wanted to bring it in Esadiv. So the Rebbe said Toshin and Beis. I think it's also shaped him. That my Minik today is, the Rebbe said, which by the way explains the style of the Sikhs. Well, the Rebbe would jump from topic to topic. He would start something and not finish it. It was like, Yed de Machshav, Yed de Mereish Bediba. Everything that comes to Rebbe's mind, he right away brings it into the world. That's all Zayin. I, Rebbe, spoke Asis, Vesach, disconnected Asis. It's very hard to understand the Kesher HaNyanam, the Hemshech HaNyanam, V'choli, V'choli. The Rebbe pushed me, give Gilim, give him. We'll work it out. I mean, you know, you listen to these tapes now, sometimes you understand a little better than you understood Mishas Mais. What's the point? The point is that the Kav is the measure. The Kav measures everything else.